afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, live from Las Vegas inside the South Point. Let's go out to Boston and say hello to Josh Applebaum, who's hosting out there on the East Coast. Josh, how are you today?
Pritch, I'm doing great. Happy Wednesday. Exciting day today. You know, we only have this World Series game two to talk about for action for tonight, but a lot of prep we can do for college football and the NFL leading up to this weekend. We got a big Thursday night game tomorrow. But my favorite part of today, Pritch, is that we're going to talk some UFC.
Yes.
We're going to talk some MMA because I am a closet MMA fan. During the pandemic, when there were no sports going on, I really fell in love with UFC. So I'm really excited to talk to Dave Ross, MMA expert, talking about Gaethje and Khabib, UFC 254 this weekend. It should be a great time. So, Pritch, it's great to be with you on Wednesday.
Absolutely, Josh. And you're right. I mean, under normal circumstances, this would be a humongous fight, probably out here in Las Vegas, right? And been to a few UFC fights over the years, and they're major events. So certainly UFC 254 is going to be a major event from Fight Island. I can't wait to talk about that, but let's get back to the baseball game from last night. I thought Kershaw was going to be in a good spot, and he was in a good spot. No pressure really on him, and then that lineup looking to do damage against Glasnow. The Dodgers get game one 8-3, and they get the over as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Pritch. You know, we talked about it, and Josh Towers was great. We had him on the show yesterday, and you know, a couple things from that game last night. Number one, you know, it was a buy low opportunity on Kershaw, which is funny to say because they were, you know, around a minus 160 favorite. But we talk about all that bad news where we're looking at his stats, you know, his great regular season, can't pitch in the postseason. A lot of times you want to kind of go against that because that can lead to undervalued opportunities to kind of buy on bad news in general. But we saw here, Dodgers obviously rolled 8-3. What's interesting to me is the Dodgers started off as a big line move play early. They opened around minus 160-ish, got all the way up to around minus 175. Later in the day, you had what I kind of call natural buyback on Tampa Bay Rays. To me, it wasn't that the Rays were really getting steamed by sharp action. It was kind of just a situation where that line got up so high with the Rays around plus 165-ish that you just naturally had some money coming in saying, okay, Rays are playing well. This is an MLB playoff game. Anything can happen. Let's grab some extra plus money there with Tampa. But really, to me, Dodgers cashed for, obviously, it wasn't really a huge public play. It was kind of a split game there in terms of percentages. But a couple of things to keep an eye out, you know, moving forward when you're betting these playoff games. It's been chalk, chalk, chalk all season long in MLB playoffs because you now have favorites after last night. They're 32-16 throughout the MLB playoffs this season. It's a 67% win rate. And also, Pritch, playoff favorites over the last decade, they're about 62% historically. So it's a chalky type situation when you're betting these postseason games. Doesn't mean you automatically take the favorite. Like tonight, I'm excited to talk to you. I actually think it's a good value play here to grab the Rays. I've seen some sharp movement toward the Rays today.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just something to keep in mind. And when you can check off these boxes, buy low Kershaw, also a favorite with a low total. When you're betting a favorite, a low total is good. It was 7.5 last night. Lower amount of expected runs scored, more likely it's going to come from that better team. But that kind of just, you know, aligned with the Dodgers. They came through for chalk bettors. And I will say the under yesterday was a sharp play. You know, that was a
right
public betting over. It opened at 8. It got down to 7.5. You even had liability under 7.5 minus 115. But tip your cap to the public. That thing went over. So that was a hit there. And probably the sports books aren't too happy because there are a lot of money coming in from average Joes on that over, and they were able to get that one last night.
Yeah, good start to the series by the Dodgers. Their price now up to 385, raised to plus 300 when it comes to the series. So we're seeing some movement there, too. In the game two, maybe sharps are sensing something with Snell as he takes the bump and certainly going out there against Gonsolin for the Dodgers. But I'm just so nervous about that lineup. I mean, Mookie Betts, you better than anyone know about this guy because I don't need to bring it up, but I have to because, you know, you're out there in Boston and you see this guy up close and personal, but he is amazing. Just unprecedented what Mookie Betts is doing right now.
Yeah, Mookie's incredible. And on the one hand, you know, I had a Dodgers ticket last night, so I'm like, okay, go Mookie, go Dodgers. On the other hand, it's like the one that got away looking at Mookie Betts as a Red Sox fan. We saw him come up through the system. He was incredible, had an MVP year, helped us win the World Series. Just a great guy, not just a great player. But yeah, that one hurt, Pritch, making catches, stealing bases. By the way, we have a free taco today, steal a base, steal a taco, because of Mookie. So thanks, Mookie. But yeah, hit an opposite field homer. And really just, it's incredible, you know, the way he can set that lineup. And when he gets on base, you know, things are cooking there. So yeah, Pritch, don't rub it in, man. It's like the one that got away and I'm It's tough seeing Mookie, but I'm happy to see his success.
Yeah, I mean, Glasnow, 8 Ks himself, kind of like Kershaw, but he labored more so than Kershaw. And then, you know, you're walking Betts, and then he's got pressure on you because he's on the bases, and it just changes your game plan, I think. And he's just that kind of player. So amazing for him to get the start that he did with the Dodgers in that series. Game two, like we mentioned, Snell versus Gonsolin.
Yeah, so as you mentioned here, Pritch, you know, updated series prices, if you had gotten down on the Dodgers prior to game one, you know, you're probably feeling pretty good today. They're a minus 200 favorite to win the series going in. They're now minus 385. So that implied probability went from 67% to now 79%. If you do think Tampa Bay can win tonight, which we'll talk about in a second, there is some respected money coming in on Tampa and Snell. They're plus 300 to win the series, and they open plus 165. But kind of looking at tonight, what I'm seeing here, obviously Snell, Gonsolin, another situation where there's really no other sports going on, so this will be a very, very heavily bet game tonight, obviously a World Series game. But what I'm seeing here is tickets are split once again. I don't think we're going to get a lot of contrarian opportunities here in this series. I think it's going to be pretty even. It is a slight public favorite here toward the Dodgers. We're seeing a lot of sharp line movement here to the Dodgers tonight, Pritch, because the Dodgers open at around a minus 145 favorite. Some looks closer to minus 150. We've seen this line get hit by a lot of respected money coming in on Tampa Bay with plus money, dropping this line here. So you've seen, you know, a 15, almost a 20 cent line move where this Dodgers line is falling around minus 150 to minus 132. Tampa Bay has been getting hit at a lot of books across the market. And it's not just public money. It is respected money hitting Tampa when they are, you know, plus 135, plus 130, they're now down to plus 122. So that's a pretty sharp line move in favor of the Rays. You also look at this total here, Pritch. It's a little bit of a higher over. You know, it was 7.5 yesterday. It's 8 today. Throughout the day, you saw a little bit of over liability. We see it on the screen here, minus 120. And remember, you know, you're on a favorite last night with the Dodgers. You want that low total, like we mentioned.
Right.
You're on a dog like the Rays. You want a little bit of a higher total because more expected runs scored, more variance, more upset opportunities. So as it stands now, a really sharp play to the Rays. We got, you know, 2 hours on the show. We'll see if that continues. And a little bit of liability here to the over in this one.
Okay, let's keep an eye on that for sure. Let's get over to the National Football League because BetMGM has posted yes-no playoff odds for most of the teams. We're at that point of the season, approaching the midway point, and you start thinking about the playoffs here. At least the teams do. We know that much. So let's look at the Chiefs. Also, you know, obviously the heaviest favorite here. The Ravens, Titans, Bills. What do you think about these prices here on these teams right now leading the way for the most teams in NFL playoffs here?
Yeah, so obviously look at the first two, Chiefs, Ravens, and they're going to make the playoffs, barring something just absolutely ridiculous happening. We got to remember when you're betting on sports, it's not just about what you think is going to happen or what will happen. It's also the price you're going to pay. So I see that Chiefs minus 10,000, Ravens minus 3,300. I mean, yeah, it's going to happen, but you have to risk so much and you're getting so little on the back end. And a lot of these props do have low limits. So you can kind of cross those off, even though they seem like a layup. It's just the juice really isn't worth the squeeze in terms of those two. Even the Titans minus 834, that's a little high to me. I would really focus on those last four. You know, Bills minus 250, Browns minus 182, Colts minus 139, Patriots even money. To me, that's where I think you're not paying that big of a price there. If it's around minus 200 or less, the Patriots are scaring me, Pritch, too, because I actually think, you know, this may be a buy low spot on the Pats because they haven't, you know, they've had the COVID scares, they've had injuries. If they can get it together, I mean, you're getting even money on a team to make the playoffs that was kind of favored to make the playoffs when the season began. So that's one that I would look at. But any of those jump out to you, Pritch? You look at the Cincinnati or not the Bengals, but the Browns, you know, decent line there. But any of those jump out to you? The Bills, you know, they look like they might make it.
Well, you know, in terms of making the playoffs, the yes situation, I mean, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Titans, the Bills are intriguing at minus 250, but the no at plus 200 for the Bills. And then you look at the Patriots, minus 120. In terms of not making the playoffs. And that's where it gets intriguing here when you look at these teams, all these teams as we line them up, looking at the AFC now. And so midway point, approaching the midway point, signs of trouble, maybe turbulence out there in New England, I don't know. But to be minus 120 as a no, will they make the playoffs? That's interesting to me.
Very interesting. And what are the odds makers telling you? You look at that, you know, that no list, they're the only one with a minus number. So they're the only one actually favored not to make the playoffs. So that's definitely intriguing. Pritch, I want to get your take on the Colts because, you know, they got a great defense. You like their running game. I guess the question is Phillip Rivers, you know, can he continue to make plays? What do you expect from him as we progress throughout this season? Obviously, they're in that division where the Jags and the Texans are off to a terrible start. Remember, with all these props, too, we have an extra playoff team this year, more so than usual. So, you know, keep that in mind as well. But what's your diagnosis on the Colts here, Pritch? Do you think Rivers can keep it going? Do you lean on that defense? Is he going to become more of a game manager? How do you see the Colts progressing throughout this year?
Well, they're going to have to lean on the defense. Things are going to tighten up in the league. We know that for sure. It usually happens. I'm curious about the Colts being able to rush the football. You know, Phillip Rivers, we know he can throw it at times and he's effective that way, but I don't know if you can rely on that. You know, we look at these other older quarterbacks, even Tampa Bay with Tom Brady or Peyton Manning previously too. For him to be successful, teams had to get to the running game. These guys older in the league, people know them. They have the book on Phillip Rivers in terms of what his tendencies will be. Certainly out there in October and November, as you get deeper into your schedule. So he becomes less effective. So you have to be more well-rounded. I think more balanced, that will help out the Colts situation. Of course, relying on that defense is something they're going to have to do too there, Josh, but I'm looking for them to rev up that rushing attack.
I like that, Pritch. And hey, let me throw one at you. We didn't have this team listed here, but how about the Miami Dolphins? You know, the Dolphins are, you know, kind of making a little bit of a surge here. They're going on their bye week now. They've changed to Tua here. I think, you know, if you're looking for a playoff run, you may probably want the veteran Fitzpatrick, but making that move to Tua, we don't have the odds here, but what would your take be, Pritch, with Miami? They're a team that, you know, last year took their lumps and really progressed throughout the year, started to build something, ended the year on a high note, beating the Patriots in week 17. And now they've done pretty well this year. And again, this AFC East is looking a little more wide open. We can, you know, get rid of the Jets because they got no shot here. But you have three teams bunched up, even though the Bills are in first, kind of the teams that are close to each other. I think there's some opportunity there in a similar way to the terrible NFC East where you really have no idea who's going to take that division.
I know, right? Josh, the minus 120 for New England is a no to not make the playoffs. I think opens the door for Miami, does it, a little bit? I don't want to jump the gun, though, because, you know, when you think about them turning to Tua, is this going to be disruptive? I know it's a bye week. I know people are excited about it. Maybe this was an ownership call more so than a coaching call. Well, I have to probably get more details. More reporting is going to emerge. We know that's going to happen. But I'll be curious about that. You know, as the Patriots kind of melt away, if you will, I think the Dolphins might have opened the door there. So I'll check back with you on that one right now. I need some more intel.
No, I totally get that. And hey, the one thing with the Patriots too is, you know, living in New England and just kind of, you know, following the team closely, you've had Belichick act a little weird. You know, he's kind of making excuses. We didn't have practice. He's lamenting all the non-practice. And, you know, the whole thing with the Patriot way is no excuses, next man up. So to me, that's a little worrisome. How does that bode for the rest of the season here? But I got to think the Pats will be in it. I lean a little bit more the even money that they will make it.
Okay.
Just because you are a buy low opportunity right now. Their schedule does get a little more difficult. But again, they have head to heads with Buffalo. If they can win one or both, you know, those are something that you want to look at moving forward. But you are right. The fact they're the only minus team to miss the playoffs, that's something we're not used to here in New England.
Well, Belichick's making Subway commercials too. I mean, that can't be the Patriot way, right? What's going on there?
No, seriously. Hey, I like the commercials. They're funny, but you're right. He's doing things that you're not totally used to. And then in New England, we play this game too, where we say, what's the Patriots record and what's Tom Brady's record in Tampa? So there's that kind of chart that we're comparing all year long. And obviously Brady's got a much better record at this point. So yeah, we're in a weird way here in New England and we're not used to it here, Fred.
Not used to it. Belichick, 1 foot out the door, Josh, 1 foot out the door. Brady's already gone. The Browns too at minus 182 plus 150 as a no. Are you expecting, or do you anticipate the Browns maybe fading away a little bit?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I mean, they were off to a great start here. To me, it's Baker. You know, what are you going to get from him? He's got a bit of an injury here. Is that going to linger long term? They're obviously in a tough division. They got rolled by the Steelers, you know, and they got rolled by, another team. I think it was the Ravens early, but
Ravens.
Yeah. So that tells you right off the bat, you got to compete in your own division. If you're getting blown out by your top, you know, division competitors, that's not going to bode well. yeah, you can, you know, beat up on the Bengals. And I actually think the Bengals are kind of sharp this week, 3.5 down to 3 against the Browns. But to me, that'll be a team where, you know, you're getting a little plus money, plus 150 Browns not to make it. I lean a little bit there because they you could see a young team like this, even though they started great, signs are not going well if you can't. If you're getting blown out by your top division opponents.
Right. And then also the injuries too, injuries to Baker Mayfield and that offensive line a little bit defensively as well for Cleveland. Cleveland last made the playoffs, Josh, in 2002.
I was in 10th grade there, Pritch. So yeah, it's been a while, the poor Cleveland Browns fans, but yeah, off to a great start, but who knows? If you're looking at a team to maybe fold here, that could be at the top of the list.
Yeah, when it comes to the yes/no odds of teams making the playoffs, so we're going to stay in the AFC, and maybe some surprising teams, some more betting angles as Josh and I dissect some more teams off to some good starts, some teams that off to some slow starts that might surprise you down the stretch here as Betting Across America continues right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. College and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, fascinating conversation here about will they make the playoffs? Yes, no kind of props here, kind of odds here. And the Steelers are not on the board. They're not taking any action on the Steelers to not make the playoffs. That's something else to note. But let's get to some surprising teams. The Raiders off to a fantastic start out here in Las Vegas. 3-2, got a big game coming up against Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Yes, plus 125, the no, minus 150.
Yeah, I think depending on your perspective of the Raiders and how you view the rest of their season going, that's a prop right there that has some value just because it's so short, the plus 125 versus the minus 150. Here, I'm looking at the schedule here, Pritch. This is what the Raiders have moving forward. Obviously, they're against the Buccaneers this upcoming week, and I think they're a pretty sharp play, plus 3 against the Bucs. That's a Sunday night game. It tipped off. It kind of got 2.5 up to 3. Now it's coming back down to 2.5. Getting the 3 in prime time off a bye, I think, has a lot of value. But after the Bucs, they have the Browns, the Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs again, which they've battled and had a win against the Chiefs. That game will be at home. Then you look at the Falcons, the Jets. I think we can give them a win in the Jets game. Colts, Chargers, Dolphins, and Broncos. They have a lot of division games. You're playing the Chargers twice. You're playing the Broncos twice. I think that's going to kind of have a big impact of whether or not they make the playoffs. But I kind of like what they're building in, with the Raiders here, the plus 125. The plus money, you have that extra playoff spot up for grabs here. I think the bye week probably came at a good time for them. So moving forward, what's your take on the Raiders here, Pritch? You think Gruden can get them back in the playoffs? They've been building for a couple years now. Can they make it back to the postseason in their first year in their new home?
Yeah, you know what? I think so. They have the roster to do it. They are deep. I think you get into the 40s when you think about the roster, how deep they are at positions. Mariota is coming back. I think there might be some news about Trent Brown too, and the COVID concern there. So I have to keep an eye on that and get some updates there. There was some rumblings earlier today about the possibility that he might land on a COVID list, but we'll wait and see on more details about that. But they are getting healthy. healthy Malik Collins. He's a guy that they're looking for to get healthy. Same thing with Richie Incognito. So the Raiders, they are loaded. They're prime and ready to go and make that kind of a playoff push. Can Derek Carr play at this level, though? I mean, can he sustain it, right? This guy has 11 touchdown passes already. I think last year he only had 21 touchdown passes. So year three in the offense under Coach Gruden, that's something to keep an eye on. And this game Sunday night, too, a key game for the Raiders.
Absolutely a key game for the Raiders. You know, looking at the other thing, here's another teachable moment too. Anytime you see, like we put up this board a second ago, the Jaguars and the Jets, when they don't even offer a number for the no here option, that's already something that you should always remember. If you ever see a one-sided prop bet, the books are pretty much just asking you to say, hey, anything can happen. I got a 0.01% chance. Let me throw 10 bucks in or whatever it may be. But that's always a red flag. To me, don't ever bet a prop that's one-sided, because there's a reason why the books are only offering one side of the prop. The other thing too, Pritch, I'd like to get your take on, you know, the Broncos. The Broncos have been a little feisty, and you know, I think they've done a decent job here. 2-3, big win here at New England. They've won two in a row. They started 0-3. I was ready to write them off. A lot of injuries, and Fangio, to me, you know, after kind of screwing up a couple of clock situations early in the year, you question what kind of coach he is. But they're kind of scrappy. They're not that bad of a team. Plus 900 is somewhat intriguing to me. Texans, to me, they've dug such a big hole that I don't know if they can come out of that. And then Bengals, of course, they're 20-1. You like the future with Burrow, but again, those division games, they're going to have to face the Steelers and the Ravens. You know, that's going to be tough for them. But what's your take on Denver? Really, the only other yes that intrigues me is maybe a plus 900 with the Broncos if Locke can stay healthy and they can progress. But what's your take overall on Denver moving forward this year?
If Locke can stay healthy, that's the big question. Here's a guy that has not been able to take care of his body while he's playing, whether it's a thumb injury last year or this year, the shoulder, he finds a way to injure himself. If he stays healthy, this is a young enough roster. But, you know, key injuries to Von Miller, Cortland Sutton, they are very, very young. And I don't know if you want to, occupy your bankroll like that way with the Broncos, but something to keep an eye on, though. They only have two wins, but yet half the league has only one win, so it's interesting. Not half the league, about a third of the league. So we'll continue this discussion because we're going to get into the NFC, but up next, let's dive into the college football scene. Big games coming up this weekend. That's coming up next. This is the first week of a full college football schedule, and we've updated the VSiN college football betting guide, including all teams from the Big Ten, Mid-Atlantic, and the Pac-12. Get the guide plus everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides with pro and college football previews, 24/7 live video stream, daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show host and guest, breaking news, stats, and game previews on vsin.com. Get in the game. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Appelbaum with you. Josh, I love the college football action this weekend because we have rivalry games, these situations that involved ranked opponents. Now, I keep hearing both sides of the debate. Do you rely or do you look at ranked situations this year because of the pandemic?
So it's a great question, Pritch. You know, the way I look at rankings, number one, is that the public puts so much stock into them. So as a contrarian bettor, this is a tool that I use whenever I'm capping a college football game. So if you look at, you know, a public-minded bettor, an average Joe, casual bettor, weekend warrior, recreational bettor, whatever you want to call it, someone who just bets for fun and really bets with their heart, not as much their head, what they're going to do is they're going to really overvalue rankings. So if one team is ranked 10th, another team is unranked, automatically, no questions asked, they're going to take that higher ranked team. Also a situation where, you know, you have an unranked team versus ranked team that creates good buy low opportunity to actually back the unranked team thus far. Now, what's interesting here in a game, a bunch of games that we're going to get to is that this is the first week where we have a lot of teams where both are ranked And that, to me, creates a really good opportunity because here's a stat that I love, Pritch. We talk about it a lot. It cashed with Alabama, which didn't make me too happy because I was on Georgia last week.
Me too.
But the fun, exactly. But the funny, it was a good first half, Pritch. Yes, it was. Not so much. But, with all these with all these games where you have two ranked opponents going head-to-head, the funny thing is the public, anytime they see two ranked opponents going head-to-head, they actually want to take the dog. And you think about it and you say, okay, both teams are ranked. They're both pretty good. I might as well take the team getting the points. But that's actually not the way you want to approach these games because I have a historical system and it's done very well this year as well. But when you have two ranked teams going head to head, the favorite is 10-1 straight up this year and 10-1 ATS this year. So these teams where actually you lay the points with two ranked teams has done very well historically. It's about 54%-ish doing great this year. The only upset in terms of two ranked teams where the dog actually won was Texas A&M when they beat Florida about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So just keep this in mind, and we'll get to in a second. SMU, to me, is one of your sharpest plays of the week that would match this system. But just don't get in the habit of betting a game where, okay, whoever's got a better one-loss record, whoever's higher ranked, I'm going to bet them. You're falling right into the trap of what the sportsbook wants you to think. Break down these games based on line movement, buy low on unranked team versus ranked teams. And when two ranked teams go head-to-head, remember, there is an edge to the favorite. Kind of go contrarian in that direction as well.
Okay, great information right there, Josh Applebaum. NC State in North Carolina, that line 15.5. North Carolina maybe look ahead spot because they didn't play well against FSU last week.
Yeah, it's a great point here, Pritch. And, you know, it's funny. I get a second ago, I'm telling you always, you know, two ranked teams grab the favorite here. Right. Now I'm going to tell you, okay, there's value on the dog. So that's just the way betting goes. You got to take each game individually. But, I am seeing some movement here toward NC State. You know, North Carolina open as a pretty hefty favorite. They were like minus 17 at home. We're now starting to see this line creep down a little bit. It's now down to 15.5. As of right now, tickets are pretty low. And I put a lot of stock into line moves early in the week, Pritch, because the public really isn't thinking about a Saturday college football unless you have like a huge Alabama, you know, Georgia game. They're really not betting these games too much early in the week. You really see action pick up later in the week. So to me, a lot of this movement coming in on North Carolina State, that's what I would call more respected money because they're, you know, the true pros, they're playing a number. They may have this game. Okay, I have NC State, a 14-point dog, mm-hmm. line open 17. They hit NC State, that sort of thing. But yeah, that would go against the trend we just talked about. But you can't deny the market movement. This line is moving to NC State in this matchup.
Sure, I can understand that. I mean, North Carolina ranked fifth, really, last week. I mean, I was shocked by that, Josh. And, you know, without the Big Ten, without the Pac-12, there's some marquee teams or marquee institutions that are not ranked or participating yet. So, UNC, no way are they the fifth best team in the country. So I see the value and also understand the line movement there towards NC State. Let's move ahead to Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Iowa State with a big victory earlier on the year. They're on the road now taking on OSU. Two ranked opponents, again, not a rivalry situation, but at least two ranked opponents for the public.
Yeah, so here's another contradiction. I hope people don't think I'm playing both sides of this. I'm just telling you the historical trend and where the line's going here. But this would be a sharp move to Iowa State because this game opened Oklahoma State. They were about a minus 3.5 or a minus 4 favorite. They're getting a big majority of bets thus far, even though ticket counts are relatively low. About 2/3 of bets are laying the points here with OK State. However, this line has fallen, you know, 4 down to 3.5. A lot of these 3.5s that I'm seeing are juiced up on the Ohio State or Iowa State side, mm-hmm. where they're plus 3.5, minus 115, tells me it may fall down to 3. So if you're eyeing this matchup and you see an edge with Iowa State, you may want to grab it sooner rather than later because you may miss the hook here. The way it's trending, it looks like it could go to 3. But Pritch, what's your take in this spot? We always talk about Iowa State being a great advantage when they're at home, but now they're going on the road. You think the Cyclones can keep it close here?
I think so. You know, I played in Ames, Iowa. That was the old Big 8 back in the day. And so a lot of trips up there to Ames, Iowa, when you play and face Iowa State, the Cyclones. But, you know, I think from this standpoint, they have a tight end passing a game. They featured a tight end with their passing attack. So that's unique. You don't normally see that in college football. I mean, you see the spread formations and try to feature the wide receivers. But in this case, the Cyclones, they featured a tight end. So I wonder if that could be a matchup problem for the Cowboys out there of OSU.
Yeah, it might be. And maybe, you know, looking at kind of the total in this spot, too, we have seen some smart money hit this under Iowa State and Oklahoma State because it opened 54. It's now down to about 52. This would match for me when you're looking at kind of public taking it over, classic reverse line move to the under. In terms of weather, it's not really a weather spot. You know, it's going to be about a pretty nice day, mid-50s, about 7-8 miles an hour of wind. But it looks like early on you had some under money hit that total, dropping it 54 down to 52. Pritch, can I ask you something a little bit off the script here?
Sure.
When you were playing football and when you were you know, in college football, did you always know the ranking of your team? Were you aware of that? Did you say, hey, we're unranked, I got a chip on my, you know, had a great team, obviously you won the championship, but did you ever like use that as a chip on your shoulder? If, man, we're only 24th and, or we're unranked, or, hey, we're ranked first or fifth, maybe we have a little pressure on ourselves. How did you as a player handle rankings?
We were always ranked kind of high once we got it rolling. I think if you ranked too low and you feel that way, certainly you take note of that. But you kind of focused on the teams that were ranked ahead of you, like OU or Nebraska. You know, those were the teams that we had targets on. We'll get back to college football, but up next, getting back to the National Football League, teams coming off a bye, some much-needed information. We'll have it for you next, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's showtime at BetMGM Sports as baseball fans gear up for the World Series. Register today and win $100 in free bets. Just place a $1 moneyline wager on any World Series game. If any player in the game hits a home run, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up to take advantage of this offer. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets if a home run is hit in a World Series game. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, as we talk about teams that are coming off a bye, some news that is coming down right now. We talked about it earlier about Trent Brown and maybe some COVID concerns. Well, the Raiders sent all five starting offensive linemen home. Obviously, contact tracing the situation with Trent Brown, their right tackle.
Yeah, tough news here. And hey, that's working live. You sometimes get this news that can break, and you know we gotta touch on it here. But yeah, I'm just seeing some quotes here. This is a quote from Gruden. I guess they were around Trent. Hopefully, we'll get our players back tomorrow or for Sunday. So fingers crossed. You know, obviously they're doing the right thing here. Contact tracing, that's really the key. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw the Patriots try to do it with the Chiefs and have two different planes. And you know, the more careful you can be, you know, figure out who was you know, around who. So hopefully they nip this in the bud here and we get some no negative tests. The thing that I automatically look at anytime I see news like this on Twitter break is I look at the line. What is the line doing? Is there a situation where money's coming in one way or the other? And I can confirm, you know, during this break, I had my eyes glued to the Vegas Raiders line. This line is now moving a little bit more to Tampa Bay. So I think that, you know, this is obviously real. You know, this was 2.5. It just went up to 3. And again, I've been eyeing the Raiders all week as a really good, valuable plus 3 play Sunday Night Football at home, contrarian off the bye, kind of sell high Brady and the Bucks off a big win. But now all the 2.5s are up to 3. And looks like this may go to 3.5 because all these minus 3 Buccaneers are now minus 115, minus 120. So we're going to have to see here what happens if they're down a bunch of offensive linemen going up against a really tough defensive front there with the Bucks. That can be that can really hurt this Raiders plus 3 play that was looking good pretty much all week up until right now, Pritch.
Sure. Okay. The Raiders coming off a bye. So we need to get this information out there. Now, during the bye week, it was told to people covering the Raiders out here in Las Vegas that the players had to stay in town and they were going to get tested every day. Right. So if you're tested every day during your bye week and then all of a sudden now you're out there for the first day of practice, real practice. They had the day off yesterday. And now you have a player that might have tested positive. You don't know for sure. But yes, you're going to err on the side of caution, send people home when you contact trace. Right. But these guys have been tested every single day since their bye week commenced. So I this is weird to me that all of a sudden now on Wednesday you have a player testing positive.
I agree with you.
Or maybe, but we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's up in the air, but yeah. You know, the fact that they sent them home, they probably have a good, good inkling here that there may be something going on. Yeah, it's weird, Pritch. You know, we do know the incubation period. You know, it can be 3 days, it can be 14 days. Right. Maybe they're at the tail end of a late test. You do remember the Patriots played the Broncos earlier in the season. Is there something going on there? But I think this all comes down to, you know, personal responsibility. The league can put in protocols. They were kind of slow putting them in. You've seen a lot of teams kind of fault them. Teams have buckled down. We did see the Raiders. Remember they had that, that party or that that gathering where mm-hmm. a lot of them didn't have a mask on. But again, we want football and we want everyone to be healthy. So I think it just comes down to, especially on a bye week, you know, you have a lot of facilities that lock down and you can do everything right. But once you go home, it's on these players to, stay in their apartment and order takeout and not mingle around. So hopefully, as we progress through the season, these little hiccups will get eliminated as players take a lot of responsibility and keep this train moving, hopefully.
You're right. I mean, we did see some false positives last week too. So just want to get all the information out there. It's weird to say or hear about a football team sending their entire starting offensive line home though. But that line did move, as you noted there, Josh. Another team off a bye, the Saints, they face a divisional opponent. And you're thinking about the Panthers here when you're talking about the Saints within that division.
Yeah, so Pritch, I'm looking at this Carolina-New Orleans game, and I got to be honest with you, I think the Carolina Panthers have a lot of value getting 7.5 in this game. The way we look at kind of teams coming off a bye, obviously it's an advantage because you have more time to rehab injuries, rest, coaches to be able to game plan against the opposing team. Now, the holy grail of this bye system to me is a road favorite off a bye because, you have the public kind of automatically against road teams in general. So mm-hmm. if you're a road favorite off a bye, you figure 3 points home field advantage, although this year it's probably more like a point. But that's what we saw cash with the Detroit Lions game last week. But this one here, the Saints are off a bye. That is an advantage. But I think the Panthers are the value play here because you look at this line, it opened -7.5 with the Saints. It's a publicly bet game here, about 2/3 of bets taking New Orleans. I think New Orleans may permit some fans in the stands in this game. I saw an inkling about that as well. But this line is trending more down to 7. So the +7.5 with Carolina is now getting juiced up -115, tells me it may go down to 7. Getting the hook here with Carolina could end up being big. And also, that's a classic road divisional dog. We talk about all the time, Pritch, these divisional games, the team getting points with the familiarity, it benefits them. You also got Carolina. They had a great win streak here. They had that loss against the Bears. Sharp play with the Bears if you hit that one. But this line's moving in their favor. And also, Teddy Two Gloves, as my guy Michael Lombardi calls him, Teddy Bridgewater. Pritch, he absolutely just covers tickets, covers numbers when he's a dog. He is 20-5 ATS as a dog. Really good getting the points there. So what's your take on that one, Pritch? How did you handle off a bye? Did you feel great coming off a bye and get more confidence, or was there any rust involved when you were coming off a bye?
No rust. I mean, coaches find a way to knock the rust off if they sense it. They'll practice, they'll work you. I like how Bridgewater is playing, though, and he was just with New Orleans. And you talk about familiarity with that defense and the players and tendencies on that side of the ball. I mean, I think Bridgewater kind of knows that. They know that offense. They run that offense out there in Carolina. So that could be a help. No Christian McCaffrey yet, but looking forward to his return. And then the Saints have been lethargic at times, up and down. Michael Thomas probably going to come back. We'll have to wait and find out with the injury reports. But I look for him to try to get back into the fold. And I wonder what type of shape and what type of continuity he's going to have on the field out there with his new teammates and Emmanuel Sanders and company. So that's a big number. That was a big number. If you can catch that hook, I'm with you right there with Carolina.
And I think, Pritch, you know, a lot of times too, you know, I try to cover up the names of the teams, look at the data, look at where the line is moving. And this game reminds me a lot of, remember when the Chargers went to the Saints? You had the same exact line kind of. It opened at that. And remember, Herbert, they were up big. They blew that lead. It was an overtime game. Saints ended up winning in overtime. But this is kind of a carbon copy of a line opener and the way it's trending. Same exact thing. Public was on the Saints in that Chargers game. They're on the Saints in this game as well, but it opened 7.5. You saw obviously the you know, the Chargers blew that game in terms of winning, but they still covered the number. I'm seeing the same thing here. 7.5 liability toward the dog. You know, that was a non-conference game. This is a division game. That's probably why you maybe like this one a little bit more. But that's just kind of weird to me when you I have some deja vu here with the Chargers a couple weeks ago, and now same spot here with Carolina, 7.5 going to New Orleans.
Yeah, some strong win totals. That division, too, becoming highly competitive. We mentioned how a big game for the Raiders, now a big game for Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Carolina, too, emerging there within that division. Let's move to the Chargers, because the Chargers, they have a big number, a big home favorite, -8 against Jacksonville.
Yeah, off this one's tough. Yeah, this one's tough for me, Pritch. I mean, kind of all the value in the data says take the Jaguars, just in terms of their contrarian, their buy low opportunity, their 2-4 ATS. You remember they had that huge win. We're all like, you know, aren't you guys supposed to be tanking? And you beat the Colts week one. But they've kind of really come back down to earth ever since. To me, it's a lot about injuries. You know, you look at this Jaguars injury report, that's a team that you've got to know who's in or who's out, because, you know, you had the DN Allen, their best pass rusher. He was out. You had a lot of linebackers. CJ Henderson has been out. To me, if you can get these guys back in, I do like the Jaguars getting the points in this one. You also look in terms of the line movement, you know, it's been pretty static at 8. You know, some books were 7-8 down to 7.5. There are some 7.5s across the board, so it looks like a little liability to the Jaguars, but man, they are a tough team to sweat. It's just, how can you lay 8 points with a rookie quarterback? I know Herbert's been great, but if you look at this kind of a game theory betting historical situation, buying low on a team getting 8 points against a rookie quarterback, that has some validity there. But Pritch, what's your take on Jacksonville? Are they finally getting the memo it's time to tank, or what's the deal with the Jags?
Well, they have tanking competition with the Jets and just about everybody else, a third of the league. Again, only one win or 0 wins for about 10 teams right now. So if Jacksonville, if that's their plan, they better start executing their plan. Now, I love Herbert. I love the fact that this guy would have been a high draft choice the year prior to being drafted this year, earlier this year. And he's played fine. You know, he's with a veteran laden team and he's played solid football. I'm curious to see them, though, after a bye. That's a big number, though, Josh.
That is a big number. And again, to me, it's how do we see this line moving forward here? Because again, a lot of these openers were 8. I'm seeing them come down to 7.5 a little bit. You remember that Patriots game against Denver? I mean, the Pats were like -10. The line got all the way down to 7.5, 7. And to me, that window, you know, 11 a.m. to 1 Eastern on a Sunday is when that's as exciting as it gets for an NFL bettor seeing late movement. So I guess what I'm saying is keep an eye on that Jags number. If you see that fall to 7, that's, and you can still jump on a hook 7.5, that's something to keep an eye out for.
Okay, definitely. We'll keep an eye out for that information. Up next in hour number 2, Dave Ross is going to be on the program. UFC 254. Everybody's excited about that card. We will also clean up some more National Football League games in terms of teams off a bye, and then also the NFC odds to make the playoffs. Yes, no odds. It's coming up next in hour number 2 right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.